Okay. We view Churban HaBayis as the definition of Golus, meaning to say, as we're in Golus ever since Churban HaBayis, even though that's it's not historically accurate if you look at the dry facts. Am Yisrael was under occupation by the Romans like a whole 100 years before. And, you know, Pompey came in, you know, when the Maccabim, you know, couldn't get along with each other. They'd been occupied for, you know, long, long time before Churban HaBayis. You know, as far as, you know, undoing the, you know, exiling the Jews from Yerushalayim, and there were no Jews allowed to live in Yerushalayim, that was after the Bar Kokhba rebellion 60 years later. You know, it was like, so there's Roman occupation before Churban HaBayis. There was, Am Yisrael could still, you know, inhabit, you know, the most of their towns, including Yerushalayim, even after Churban HaBayis. When Bar Kokhba made trouble, then that was it, you know. That's when everything had to move to the Galilee. You know, as everything called Judea was forcibly vacated. But yeah, we Churban HaBayis, that's Golus. You know, even also another fact that the how many of the world Jewry lived in Eretz Yisrael during Bayis Sheni?
Very small percentage, because only 42,000 came back.
Correct. Even during our heyday, you know, during Bayis Sheni, that is, you know, 4/5 of the Jewish people were left in Bavel and in diaspora. So what constitutes Golus? That you decide that Churban HaBayis, that's Golus. Right? Not before, even though most Jews weren't living in Eretz Yisrael, and not after, even though the Jews were allowed to stay. Like I said, until the Bar Kokhba rebellion, that's when they pushed them too far. That's when, you know, what was called Judea was undone, and that's when everything moved to the Galil, as we know. That's where the Mishnah was written and the Yerushalmi was written. I don't know why it's called Yerushalmi. It's written in the Galil. It's one famous one.
Yeah.
It's called Yerushalmi. It was written in the Galil. Jews were not allowed to live in Yerushalayim at that time. Chazal talk about Yerushalayim being the highest place in the world. You know, Eretz Yisrael gavoh mikol ha'aretzos, and Yerushalayim is gavoh mikol Eretz Yisrael. Yeah, world's round. Any point could be the highest point. They talk about it being the center, and you have the same question, right? Since the world is a sphere, any point could be the center. So, what is it that, you know, Eretz Yisrael is, you know, Yerushalayim, the base of Meir Makabeh is the highest point, it is the center, when seemingly any point could be, you know, the center. One thing that we've always seen about the Beis HaMikdash, a very interesting way that the Torah itself defines it, L'shaken Shmo Shom, throughout the Pesukim, right? Throughout Tanakh, right? It's where the divine name rests. Right? That is something very interesting that we're going to analyze. Because that's what it says about the Jewish people. Also, Ro kol me'arz kishem Hashem nikra olecha v'yoru mimecha. God's name rests upon us, and you know, I'm sure you've already made the connection already yourself. V'shachanti b'socham b'socho lo ne'amar el b'socham. That Hakadosh Baruch Hu, the Shechina is ikar b'Yisrael, and the Shechina is called Shem Shemayim. The Shechina is called Shem Shemayim. L'shaket Shmo Shem. It's so very befitting to look into that, you know, what that means. You know, why the Shekhinah is called Shem Shemayim. There's a, in the generations, you know, between Adam and Avram Avinu, one of the big events was Dor HaHafluga. And that's, you know, really where Avram Avinu was chosen, when all the rest of mankind was rejected at that point and dispersed, right? Shamei Fitzam, right? First classical case of Golus. That's when humanity dispersed and fragmented into Shivim Lashon. There's something very interesting in the prelude to that whole story. They discovered how to make bricks. It's like a Torah waste, you know, seemingly not waste. I mean, we'll explain why it's significant. That they discovered how to turn clay into brisk, right? Right, and then they also say, this is Hava Nobala Venum, let's do this like big time, Misfa Sefa, and we're gonna build this very, very big tower. Right? And they called that project Nase Lanu Shema. We make a name for ourselves. And Penofuts, lest we disperse. And of course, Chosefa then Dafka did disperse them. It's an amazing thing.
Right? Well, this, what did they think?
We're trying to get into their headspace, you know, but we can't go full depth because we're not allowed to enjoy Divrei Torah on this day. But we're going to, get into the discovery that they had and what they were trying to do. Right. One of the big mysteries of the world, right, and we're going to show it's a cosmic mystery. It's not just in physics. It's in everything, as we're going to demonstrate what holds things together. What is the nekuda of achdus? You know, that pulls things, that holds things together. It should be, in theory, that every force should pull in its own direction. The concept of integration, concept that things hold together. I mean, this is from the big mysteries that we have in science. Like, you know, what holds all the atomic particles together? Why don't they just fly each one in its own direction? The things are integrated, consolidated, held together in different patterns, you know, constructive patterns. What holds things together? Hayah min adin, all the particles just go their own separate ways. Right? And it's something which is not it's not something physical, because something, if you pulverize something, right, and you put its dust on a scale, it doesn't weigh any less than if you put the whole integrated brick on a scale. It weighs the same thing. Right? It's not something, it's not Homer. It's not something that has mass. Right? And this is, you know, really discussing what the Dora Fuga discovered. Right? They discovered how to make bricks, pull things together. Right? You know, there are limits on this. There's a certain cosmic force that holds things together. Right, and which was displayed by the idea of brick and mortar be able to create bricks in the first place out of separate particles. Right? And they chapped that, you know, if you could tap into that force, you'd be invincible. This is the thing that holds the whole universe together. This is what gives Kiyum. And that was their grand plan. They tap into that force. And they almost got the name correct. They almost got the name correct. Nase Lanu Shema. A name. Now we know, you know, a name doesn't just mean, you know, we know from Lashon HaKodesh, right, that a name doesn't just mean, it's not just a noun. It's something bigger than that. Right? It could be a cause, like Lashem Shemaim, to do something lishma, for its own sake. Well, people rally around a cause. Right? There's the goal, the common goal that pulls things together. Right? Nase Lanu Shema. Right? Pen Nofuts. Right? We're going to make for ourselves a name, lest we disperse. There's tapping into the power of unity. Right. They revealed, they observed that there's a unifying force that permeates the Bria. If we could tap into it, we're invincible. And of course, we will be, what's the difference between something Banui and something Charev? What's the difference? Banui is when it's integrated. Charev is when it's Bepizur. Right? That's right. Correct. Correct. All right. So now the truth is, the Beis Yaakov from Mishbitza says, if you really want to know what that tower was about, that tower was a prototype of a Beis HaMikdash. That's exactly what they were thinking.
Who says this?
The Beis Yaakov from Mishbitza. You know, but you know, we're jumping a little bit ahead, but you know, but it was done with a very selfish intent. It is something seemingly moronic, right? They built it in a valley. You know, it's a bika, Beret Shinar. That's moronic. right? They want a high tower. Build it on a mountaintop. Build it into a valley. They were trying to siphon down the power of unity and bring it to themselves. That thing was an antenna. It was supposed to bring down, tap into the cosmic unifying force called shame, right? But we see that there's this force that permeates the cosmos, that holds the cosmos together. All these different galaxies, everything pulling, it should have pulled in its own direction, and they don't.
Today we pull a gravity, an electromagnetivity. Are you trying to say, in terms of physics, were they searching for this type of...
Yeah, but they were thinking deeper. Because really, the pshat is like this. There's Achdus, and Achdus has its, as we're going to try to present, Achdus has different, comes in many shapes and colors. We call it electromagnetic, whether you call it gravity, whether you call it school of thought. Right? Weltanschauung, a outlook on life. Achdus comes in many shapes and colors, but those are all applications. They were trying to tap into the root. Unifying force in the cosmos that has its many different expressions. There's chemical bonding, ionic bonding, all the different types of bonding. It'll get into the shorsh of bonding to begin with. Right? They were trying to, that thing was an antenna. Right? That thing was trying to bring down and bring to themselves. Nase lanu, shame. The mistake was, and is this with this we get to two very strange Mishnayos and Ovis. I mean, they sound nice, but it's about time we started, understanding what they really mean, and we can understand what a Beis HaMikdash is about. Chazal say two things. So, leave Mishnayos in the same parak, I do believe, right? Kol Knesia Shehi L'Shem Shamayim Sofa L'Iskayim, right? If the in-gathering, you pull together an assembly, like Anshe Knesset HaGdola, you pull it together, a Knesia, it'll only endure if it's L'Shem Shamayim. Right? If it's not L'Shem Shamayim, it will not endure. And in the Maharal, on that Mishnah, invokes the mistake of the Dor HaFloga. They said, Nasil Anu Shem. It wasn't L'Shem Shamayim. And that was it. So, Ein Sof L'Iskayim, so they're in-gathering, dispersed. It didn't hold together. But it's in a more amazing Mishnah. Machlokes shi l'shem shamayim sofa l'iskayim. Even a machlokes, if it's l'shem shamayim, it will endure. It's now thousands of years later, and we're still learning Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, as if, it's still relevant. I mean, halacha was decided like Beis Shammai, right? Even before Chorban HaBayis, it was legislated, the Baskel came out, Beis Shammai, that halacha, El Vadim Chaim, halacha Kidvei Beis Hillel, right? Shammai doesn't stop being relevant. Right?
Shammai has Shin Mem as well.
Shin Mem, yeah. Yes, nice. Yes.
Well, Shin Mem,
Yeah.
But it's got the Shorosh in there,
right. Yeah, there's a Zohar like that, that Hillel and Shammai are connected Shammayim and Arts, which is really, which is an amazing thing, and we'll get into it. I mean, that Zohar, right, that Zohar that says that, it was, and the Maharal really is alluding to that Zohar and what he says on that Mishnah, right? The world is not monochromatic, right? The world, has many colors and shapes and opposing forces, things that are actually mutually exclusive. Right, and cannot exist at the same place at the same time, like fire and water. Things that are, polar opposites, like heaven and earth. And it's all God's world. Right? So now you have to facilitate, so that this is like the other sides. Sometimes you have to divide. Right? You have to make a division between the two things, so each one should endure. Because if there will not be a machloket beinayim, if you're not going to divide between them, they're going to neutralize each other. An amazing thing. Shem Shamayim pulls things together. Shem Shamayim also creates boundaries that facilitate coexistence. and they will continue to exist, and one will not be mevatel the other, right? If it's l'shem shamayim. That's what it says. So, ezu machlokas shel shamayim, shel v'shamayim. Ezu machlokas shel shamayim, zu machlokas korach v'chol adosa. It doesn't say machlokas korach and Moshe. All right, and machlokas she'en l'shem shamayim, someone's got to lose. Because shem shamayim, if both parties are l'shem shamayim, so shem shamayim will create a division, borders, to keep each one going, that they should not collapse on each other. And that's amazing. You would think that that's the opposite of unity. But both forces are necessary to keep the world going. You have to keep the cosmos together. You also have to keep things, each one in its gvul, that the forces, even though they're together and integrated, they don't cross the boundaries and neutralize each other.
All right, but what about, because of the Knesset, that doesn't seem to be a problem. But in the case of Machlokas, that seems to be a problem of one neutralizing the other.
That's right. So, and Shem Shemayim actually makes the boundary. Shem Shemayim makes the boundary.
No, so what? In what's the difference? Which situation does not making a machlokas, they can still exist? And which situation
when two things
is it
are
necessary to make machlokas when, in order for them to continue to exist?
When the forces are mutually exclusive. When the forces are mutually exclusive,
and
then you
need the machlokas.
Then you need machlokas. Okay. But the machlokas is not at the expense of achdus.
Right.
It keeps everything in its gvul. All right? But the amazing thing is, you know, and the lashon in both those mishnayos are the same. Lehit kayem. Ki yum. Right? It's what keeps things together, what keeps things existent. Sometimes to keep things together, you got to keep them together. And sometimes to keep things in existence, you also have to be able to differentiate between them and put everything in its place on the cosmic map, and the two are not, they're not a contradiction. You know, to the shallow mind it may be a contradiction, but it's not. Both are necessary to keep the universe the colorful, diverse place that it is, and still one place. And you know, and what keeps things special and different, you know, different in a special type of way, that everything is something special, and what keeps everything together is the same force, Shem Shemayim. It's not a kiyum, sofal iskayim, as the Mishnah says by either. Right. Everything was created l'shem shemayim. Kol masher bar karshu bolamo lo bro el lechvodo. Shenamar. What's the pasuk that says? Kol hanikra bishmi lechvodi barosiv yitzarsiv afasisiv. Right. Everything that's called by my name was for my glory created, called by my name. Shem Shemayim. The Chalos Shem Shemayim is the life-giving hub that, you know, not just gives life, right? But also even after it gives life, it still interacts with that which it gives to by keeping things together and yet keeping things separate, that they shouldn't neutralize each other. That's how Shem Shemayim means. Shem Shemayim is not just a battery. That's what I'm trying to get to. It's not just a battery. It's a power source, you know, everyone just plugs in. It's more than that. Even after it sustains what it sustains, it is still interacting with everything that it sustains to keep things in one picture. Everything special, right, and onto its own, so it's not mevutel by something else, and with that one integrated system. One integrated system. Right? And that was the role of the Beis HaMikdash. Right? You know, the Dor HaHafloga tried to tap into the power of shame, but not shame shemayim. Shame without shame Hashem. Right? Tap into the beneficial effect that there is from the cosmic unity and tried to tap into it directly. But not relating it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that was their mistake. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, that way, Dafka, Shom Bala Shem Svasam, that's where he created disunity, and Shom Hifitzam, that's where they were scattered, because they tried to tap into shame, but not shame Shamayim.
If you're saying that their unity with each other,
yes,
the substitute, right, there was a unity, they all came together in one
court. Yes.
Safa Achas Udvarim Machadim. The greater cause was greater than the individuals, because the unity was greater than the
Yes. But that,
so that would be a substitute, or that would draw down?
They tried to tap into that power, but without associating it with HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
So what do you think? Like, when humanity is united, but for a cause that has nothing to do with God.
That's right.
Saying?
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Hollow.
Right.
United around a hollow tower. Because if you don't have God there, there's no substance to that unity. Because the substance of unity is divinity.
Wasn't there the cause of their unity was like to defend themselves against divinity?
That's what it means in essence. They wanted to tap into the power of unity, but without God. That's called rebellion. That in itself is called rebellion. That's called treason.
But they specified rebellion.
What?
Didn't they like specify that this was an act of rebellion?
They did, but this is the essence of the rebellion. The essence of the rebellion was to try to siphon the power of unity from God, without God. That's called.
Apply for what cause?
Just
bad nuffles, self-preservation. They looked at the Dora Mabu and they figured that was the mistake.
Is there any model in history of that where humanity tries to create a unity?
It's the theory behind Soviet communism.
Right, that's right.
Well, look what happened also to Saddam
Hussein. I mean, not really, because Stalin wanted to be God.
Right.
Right, which is inevitably going to happen. I'm going to explain
right.
that. That inevitably has to happen. Right.
Right.
That's what I mean. Safa achas v'dvar macham. Safa. It was superficial, like misafa v'luchutz, as far as I'm saying. It was the talk.
Mm-hmm.
It was the talk. It was a sprach, but it was lacking in substance, because there's no substance to unity if it doesn't involve God himself. They wanted the shame, but not shame shamayim. All right. So, you know, this is the function of a Beis HaMikdash on earth. Right. Aside from that, you know, you can't do karbanis anywhere else. But, you know, but as I said in another shiur, you know, the Tisha B'Av is not about the cessation of Seder Avoda. That stopped already earlier. Shiva Asar B'Tam was already, they stopped the sacrificial order. Right. You know, that bias, when it was on earth, right, aside from what Chazal say, it brought bracha. Right, because it's like the energy source of the universe. And ever since then, the Gemara says in Saita, every day is just worse than the next, ever since we lost the bias. But it's more than that, right? It's not just an issue of more bracha, less bracha. There was a cataclysmic change that the world lost its central hub. It lost its anchor. That keeps the world in one place and also keeps all the different forces in their gvul, that they shouldn't neutralize each other. That's what it means. We count gullus from Churban HaBayis, because that's what brought, you know, that's where the unity and the harmony of the world broke down. And ever since then, you know, you could talk about world peace, you'll never have it. Everyone comes up with another, you know, solution, right? That'll make the world utopic. Won't work. Right? There's only one thing that works, Shem Shemayim. When Shem Shemayim is Chal, right, that's the hub that not just gives life, but that's the hub that also is point center, that anchors everything in its proper position. That everything has its kiyum as it being special without compromising what's special about it, and yet has its place in the integrated system, and the system is taka integrated, where things are not mavatl each other, things supplement for each other. And only Shem Shemayim can do that. That's how the universe was constructed. Right? And that's what it means, that Yerushalayim is the highest point. It's the central point. Central point. That's point center. That's the hub through which everything, you know, finds its connection to the whole. Right? But a connection to the whole also means without compromising itself. It's machlokas l'shein shemayim, and it's knesia l'shein shemayim, both coming from the same shem shemayim that gives kiyum to both these aspects. Everything being what it is, and doesn't have to compromise itself or assimilate itself, lose itself, and yet there's a knesia, it's all pulled together, one integrated system. Without a Beis HaMikdash, you lost the central hub. And that's where Golis starts from, in our view. Right? Because now there's nothing to hold the whole thing together anymore. Point center is gone. And now things, you know, are just been in the disarray that they've been ever since Chorban HaBayis. Everyone, for a short while, jumps into the center. And that's when you have these crazy movements that go viral. You know what you're talking about. Since things are in disarray, so everything gets its chance to jump into the center, cog, right? And for a while, be the craze that, whips up the whole world. But then, since it doesn't bats and belong there, it gets pushed out, and then something else goes into that center point, and that becomes the new craze. That, and v'chein hala, v'chein hala. That's what's going on.
Could you say that machlokas lo l'shem shemayim, and then kenisia lo l'shem shemayim could be like the machlokas would be like the democracy, and then the kenisia lo l'shem shemayim would be communism? Because the machlokas is a concept when there's too much individuality, then you have machlokas between the whole. And the communism is there's no individuality, so the individual loses to the... So I'm saying neither of them were l'shem shemayim, and then therefore...
Fine. That is all correct. That is all correct. Yeah. So, but here's the thing, trying to create an artificial center, which is whatever, where it's any political party, right? They have their platform, right? No different than the Dora Afloga, Nasi Lanu Shame. So that's the platform, pro-Muslim, anti-Muslim, ain't so feliz kaim, because it's not the real thing. The real thing that makes achdus is only HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem Echad, and all achdus is siphoned off from him. And that's what it means when you say, Ata Echad v'shimcha Echad, umi ka'amcha Yisrael goy Echad ba'aretz. I understand God is one. I understand His name is one. That's really the name Yud Kei Vav Kei. It also refers to the Torah. That's cool. Shemash Shakash. What does it mean? Am Yisrael's Goy Echad Baaretz. What does it mean? What do you mean? There's many nations. There are too many of them. Way too many. Right? what does it mean? Yisrael's Goy Echad Baaretz.
Right.
So it's an amazing thing. What makes a national? What makes a nation? Define nation. Go ahead, define nation.
It could be common ideology or common...
In the most crass and, don't talk too far, right? Is a certain amount of people, a certain amount of people
language.
occupy the same slab of earth,
same...
Right, same slab of earth, right? And they get along and they cooperate. So they're in the same place on the globe, and they cooperate. Which is what's necessary when you have to live together, right?
You can't live a common ancestry.
What?
Common ancestry.
Not always, but it's not ma'akiv. Common ancestry is generally a contributing factor, but it's But if you're not racist, it's not Mac because there's America. And there's also, the prime example, I was pointing out, the guy who bombed the hell out of the Germans, his name was Eisenhower. He didn't care. His parents were German. He didn't care. He came out and no problem killing krauts, right? Didn't bother him. I'm American now, because I live there. Right? Is any of this true about the Jewish people? Not at all. Live scattered around the globe, and we don't get along at all, right? We get along better when we're scattered, right? Look at Eretz Yisrael. There's no place where Jews don't get along more than in their national homeland, right? Right? No, it's serious. There's an unbelievable point in that. There's an unbelievable void in that, because our achdus is not pragmatic. It comes from the Torah in the Lashon of Rav Sadia Gaon. Ein amenu uma el b'toraso. It's a different type of nationhood. Our nation is built on something that is a whole different... We belong to the same ideology. We belong to the Torah, which is Shem Shemayim. That's what I'm calling Shem Hashem Nikra Lecha. Just like it's Torah Achas Yelachem, so we're Goy Echabar. We are one nation because we are all B'nai Torah. right? And it makes no difference. You know, I'm not getting into any of this, the Sephardic propaganda that all the Ashkenazim or Kuzarim really. I'm not getting into that, right? Right. It's amazing. I was in L.A. on a lecture tour, right? And I was waiting to get back on. It wasn't so much lech, right? But as I was waiting at the at the terminal to go back, get out of L.A. I wasn't very happy about how badly I did there, so I went to the bar. I wanted to know if there were any free samples, right? So the guy said, I can let you taste this. And I was broke. I did so badly that I didn't have money to buy a drink. Right? As I said, I look at it and say, it's got grapes in it. Right? This is a guy, it's a Schwarz. It's got grapes, I can't. And I said, why is that? Grapes aren't kosher? I said, no, because, you know, when you make it and press it, it becomes like wine, and the rabbis, you know, they prohibited. You're what they call an Ashkenazic Jew, he asked me. I said, yeah. So you're from the Kuzarim? I said, it's amazing, like the Shas propaganda made it all the way, you know, some Schwarz in L.A., amazing, right? Of course not. No, that's the Pele. the Sinas Chinam between Ashkenazim and Sephardim and Eretz Yisrael made it all the way, you know, to some black guy in, you know, L.A., you know, heard that.
It's also the Arab propaganda, because I want to say the Europeans.
Right, but whatever. But it happens to be true. It happens to be true that genealogy does not play a role, you know, because it's the halacha, because genetically, a person is equally Jewish if his father is Jewish and his mother's a shiksa, or if it's, you know, or the other way around. You're equally half Jewish.
Right.
But this way you are Jewish. Or not, because it's the Torah. It's halacha that makes you Jewish. It's not the genes. It's the halacha. Right? We're one nation because we're under the Torah. Right? And it's very interesting that's, you know, that one Torah, you know, allows for all this, you know, that we could splinter to Ashkenazic, Sephardic, you know, and Misnagdim and Hasidim. That's all beside Machlokas L'Shem Shemayim. The Torah was prepared for that. That things could be different, there could be diversity, and still Am Echad. Right? You know, we just got to, improve, you know, if it would be done 100% l'shem shemayim, you know, we would get along. That's what Chazal say. If it would be 100% l'shem shemayim, it's like the aspect of she'en l'shem shemayim. Chazal say, by Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. You wouldn't believe this. This couldn't happen today. The Gemara in Yevamah says, they had a machlokas that had to do with chayve krisus. Right? They had a machlokas like this, right? If a person dies without children, you know, his wife is chayve in yibum. Right. Let's say that one of the wives in the house is your own daughter. Like a guy married his niece. Right? It's a mitzvah to do. Right? It's your own daughter. Right? You're the surviving brother. What is your own daughter? Right? So obviously she's parted from you, she can't marry your father. Right? Right? What about the other wives? So basically, yeah, man was married to five wives. He had no children from any of them.
Okay.
Right? Dropped dead young. Right? With no kids. Right? His wives are chayv nibum. Only one. They didn't have to be.
Right.
No, only one.
Only one
is chayv nibum. Only one is chayv nibum. One of them. Now, one of them, one out of the household, is the daughter of the surviving brother. Can't marry his daughter, right? Okay. What's the halacha by the others? So we paskin like Beisil. Everyone's potter. Once there's an erva in the house, tsaras erva, the co-wife of erva, is potter. Right? That's halacha of Beisil. Beis Shammai said, no, she's potter because she can't marry a father, but one of the other co-wives will have to marry. Which we, who Paschal Beis Hillel, hold that if they're really potter, then that's Eishes Ach Shelo B'Makom Mitzvah, which is a Chi of Kores, and the kid from there is a Mamzer, right? But Beis Shammai is, you know, Matir Natsaros L'Achin, a union that Beis Hillel viewed as a chai of kares, and any kid that comes to his mind, because it's an eishes ach, a brother's wife, without the mitzvah vibum to override the prohibition, right? Mm-hmm. And it says, even though they had that machlokas, they used to do shiduchim together, and they lived ba'av of ach, but they had a machlokas that had to do with chiuve krisus and mamzerim, and they would live b'sholem. They just told him, like, this one's kosher for you, this one's not kosher for you, you know. Right, they ate in each other. It says before, she ate in each other's houses. They did taharas together, meaning, you know, if they had a machlokas about tumah tahara, and they did shiduchim together. And they just informed, like, this one's not kosher to Lefi or Shita, but you can marry that one. And they got along great. Can you imagine?
What? It's on the resume.
Yeah, Tzora Serva. Right, it's on the resume. Right? I decide because there was a machlokas l'shem shemayim. There was no other element involved. If it's 100% pure l'shem shemayim, you could be different and you could get along just fine because it's l'shem shemayim. It's because the machlokas are adulterated with a little bit of shalol l'shem shemayim.
So is this the reason why we had to have the shvatim? We could say we could have just had Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov. Anybody was
right. Exactly. That's right.
The concept of the shvatim is each one has a unique role.
Correct.
And a unique character. And so
correct.
On.
Correct. And that's it. And Achdus is not based on being the same. Achdus is based on something higher. Achdus is based on pure divinity. Achdus is not based on pragmatism. It's not based on being, you know, like. Right? It's based on pure divinity. And that's what Rebbe Shem wanted to reveal. The koach of divine Achdus, which is the shorish of all cosmic Achdus. Right?
But, you know...
Yes.
Achdus is such a challenging thing.
Yes.
Because the way that Rebbe is designing the world,
right,
that there's an Achdus between everyone, but there's also a Pirah between everyone.
Right. And that's Knesia and Machlokas. And it's and if it's all the Shem Shemayim, that's all, it all fits. It all comes from the same Shem Shemayim. The same Shem Shemayim is what permeates everything. That doesn't just give Chaim, but also permeates everything to put everything in its Gvul, that nothing should be mavatal, neutralize something else, and also keeps it all in an integrated system. And it all comes from the same Shem Shemayim. So it holds, makes the universe as diverse and as unified as it is. It all comes from the same Shem Shemayim. Without Shem Shemayim, the forces neutralize each other, the forces scatter. And that's the big, you know, that's why Golus is from Chorban Abayis, is when the world lost this hub that keeps things, you know, on the one hand, constructively separate and yet unified in an integrated whole. And ever since then, it's things, you know, becoming, you know, either at loggerheads or scattered. Because Shem Shemayim is missing. Right? But here's the catch. Right, and this is the... this is the big catch, all right? The we know, you know, as we said before, v'shachanti b'socho lo nemar el b'socham. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the Ikar Shechina to be in Klal Yisrael, right? The house is just a representation, you know. And lasi lavo, you know, the Shechina will be apparently, you know, the Navi Yecheskel says, you know, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be, I forget the Lashon Pasuk, but the Lashon, literally, Shechanti B'Socham, literally, the Shekhinah will be everywhere, even though the sacrifice will be done on the Temple Mount, Shekhinah will be everywhere. You won't need to have just one area of sterile space where the Shekhinah could be revealed, because the whole world will be sterile, and everything will be visible, right? And then, understood, you know, because the power of Achdus is going to permeate the world, and that's why the UN can't make world peace. They'll do a job as the League of Nations, right? The League of Nations brought us the Holocaust, right? You know, United Nations will bring us something worse, right? It's between Crooked Hillary and Donald, you know, don't make any long-term investments, right? Right? Nothing will work. Nothing will work without Shem Shemayim. But here's the point I want to get to, right? Hi, there is a walking mini-universe, literally, that we've been learning about in Derech Hashem over and over again, the Adam, right? Every person is a mini-universe. Right? We have a neshama that's inclusive of everything spiritual. We have a guf that's inclusive of, you know, microcosm of everything physical. And the union between neshama and guf is mamish parallel to the union between the Shekhinah and Olam Hazeh that was manifest in the Beis HaMikdash. And that is why you'll find in the Malbim, you know, and his Rimzei Mishkan in Parshas Truma. But you'll find it earlier in a letter that the Rambam wrote to his son, attributed to the Rambam. You'll find it in the Kuzri. You'll find it in the Zohar. Darshan's up, and it's really, you'll find it in the Medrash and Parshas Pekudei, that Darshan's up perfect parallels between the construct of the human being and the Beis HaMikdash. Right? Human being is like Olam Katan, right? Human being is a walking universe. It's a walking universe, and if man would have not been tainted, the Shekhinah would be everywhere. You know, the Shekhinah would be v'shanti b'socham, literally, right? But we're tainted, so that's it. Can only reveal itself in a cordoned off sterile space. But that's Kana Sada is mamash perfectly parallel to the human being. Right. And this is where we get to the issue that even in the human being, there's supposed to be a nekuda of Shem Shamayim that is point center of his entire persona. Everything he thinks and everything he does and everything he feels. Like Chazal say, everyone should immediately be saying the Chazal, Kol Ma'asecha Yiyu L'Shem Shamayim. Everything you do should be L'Shem Shamayim. It should be point center about everything you do, the way you eat and the way you sleep and whatever you do, it should all be L'Shem Shamayim. Right? Point center. Right? It's supposed to be the most central truth, right? That you walk around. You know, like, you know, we have, you know, in our head, you know, things that we are, as it were. Things that we know to be absolute truth. Things that might be true and things that, I'm not going to worry about it. What are the chances, right? You know, view it as concentric circles. Things that are, you know, your hardcore principles and perceptions of reality, point center, around the things that, efshar, yecholiot, right? And things that are around that, more on the periphery, is, you know, things, you know, sometimes you worry about maybe the aliens will attack, maybe they won't, right? But, it's not point center, you know, it's like, you know, what they call the back of the mind, you know, right? You know, the Lashon HaRambam is very opening words in the Mishnah Torah, Yesod HaYesodos V'amud HaChochmos Leidash Yesham Motzoi Rishon. The most basic foundation, the most basic a priori truth, the pillar of all your wisdoms. Meaning this, you build everything on this, is knowing that there's a God. Mitzius Hashem, right? It's supposed to be like your most basic truth. You never lose sight of. Right. This is, you know, this is like our central pillar. You know, and you know this, and this life force is for which the Kuzri says something very interesting about Am Yisrael. We spoke about Am Yisrael being echad. There's another way to say that, you know, in other words, Am Yisrael chai. Even though the Kuzri doesn't say it, the one who coined that phrase was Kalabach, right? But the, you know, but
Yisrael Chai? That's not an old.
Kalabach, you know. Well, it was in 1960s or, yeah. It's old. It's 50 years old. The, that phrase, right? But the, but it's based on a Makarus.
Oh, okay.
It's based on sources. Yeah. One of the sources is a Kuzri. And something very interesting, it's very roy to be misbonin in this Kuzri. And he says, he calls all the other nations dead. He tells this to the king, you're your guts, right? He tells the king, like, you know, all the other nations, Am Yisrael's the Uma Chaya. And he gives a very interesting mashal. Says, from afar, right, you have a statue and a human being. They look the same. You get within 10 feet, they still look the same. It's a really good statue, carved very, very well and painted very well. Right, you got to get really up close to see that this is a living being with a real mind and heart and life force. Right, and that's where you see the other thing is a statue. Right, what's he referring to? He's talking about the Shekhinah that permeates Am Yisrael, that thing that makes us echad, that one thing that makes us a mamleches kohanim v'goy karsh, a holy nation. It's also called Atem Hadveikim b'Hashem Lokechem Chayim Kulchem Hayom. That's why we're a living nation. That's the secret of the immortality of the Jew that Mark Twain was baffled by. Well, he was before the Babylonians, and the Babylonians are gone. The Jew shows no infirmities of old age, right? It's Dveikus in the Shekhinah. That's our life force. That thing which makes us one, even though we're scattered, that makes us holy. It's called making us alive, right? Now, it's very interesting. A short while later, Rambam lived shortly after Yehuda Levi, and his letter to the community in Yemen, he says something very similar about the Torah. Something very interesting. He says every single religion ever was wrote about truth, justice, right, and don't eat junk food. Everyone spoke about that, right? Who doesn't speak about that? It's true, right? See, right? Yeah. What makes the Torah different? Rambam poses the question. Everyone's, well, you got to serve God, and you shouldn't cheat anybody else, and you shouldn't kill anybody else. Right? Everyone says the same stuff. Everyone says the same stuff, right? What makes the Torah different? Right? So he says, he gives the same mashal as the Kuzri gave. You have a statue and a human being. He says, our Torah is full of life. It's alive because the God's there. That's why. God is there. Right? And now you can understand, you think that a person who does something lishma is the same as the guy who does it shelo lishma. They do it equally as well, equally as professional, and equally as objective, right? And, and just this guy is muttering on his breath every once in a while, l'shem shemayim, l'shem shemayim. The other guy isn't. Not true. This guy's Torah is alive. That other guy's Torah is dead. And it's the same like the New Testament. Oh, yes. Mitoch. You have to get to lishma. A person who doesn't have lishma on the agenda, klal uchlal, it's my culture. It's what my parents make me do. Whatever it is, it's dead. It's dead. If it's not done lishma, there's no shame shamayim. There's no life to it. Right? People are wondering, why are the kids going off? Why are we losing the kids? Same reason why there's so much mental illness. I'll tell you why there's so much mental illness. Right, and I mean no offense to people who work in psychology, right? Yeah, but originally psychology was deeply rooted in kfira, deeply rooted in kfira, right? And it's very simple, right? In your perception of reality, right, and in your emotional state, point center is God. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everything. Right, nothing matters except HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ain od milvado. Right, and then the mishigasin are more in the periphery of your consciousness. Right, you're basically a healthy person. Right, there's only really one thing to be scared of, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's only one thing that's worth living for, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and there's nothing, no purpose of getting jealous of anyone else, and no purpose of being afraid of anyone else. Right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you what you need. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will protect you. Right, it's health, right? The meshugana, the phobia, that everyone has their phobias. They're just questions, are they on the periphery of your consciousness or are they a point center? They're leneged einecha, right? You can't shake it, right? Well, if you leave a vacuum in point center, right? No HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so your phobias, which should be on the periphery, everyone has a certain amount of insane thoughts. The mind generates a lot of thoughts and many of them are insane, Just a question, just the way your consciousness and cognizance is arranged is that the things that are more realistic and you call more real are central, and these things are more on the periphery, So everyone thinks a crazy thought. Sometimes you might not even be conscious of it because it's so left field of your field of consciousness. But if you don't have a point center, you don't have the Ribon Shel Olam there, that crazy thought could go right into point center. That's what's meant. That's mental illness. That's mental illness. That's... that's when your emotions are out of control. You're missing point center to keep everything in its place and keep everything together in a Shem Shemai type of framework. Right? Probably the best point in the Sefer Alach Shubar of Soloveitchik was this one point, which he doesn't even say it the way we're saying it, but he meant the same thing. Someone came to him. It's like a healthcare professional came to him. He wants to change, the Nusrat Tfilah of Yomim Noraim, all this fear. Pachad, everything's about pachad, the whole thing, right? So that's what he told him. So he told him, listen, man, fear is, just the human condition. Everyone's got fear. You got to be afraid of something. It's human to be afraid, right? At least be afraid of only one thing and one thing alone, God. Right? Yeah, that's it. Yeah, but if you don't have God in your life, you're not afraid of God, then you're afraid of all the little things. You have a million fears. Only fear of that there's, him, and only afraid of him, and ain't no milvado, then, so you have one fear, right? But otherwise, aside from that one fear, you're walking around very, very happy and unconcerned about anything else. So, here's the thing, everyone talks about ADD. It's like it seems everyone, every other person is, and their mother. Distraction. there's toldosam, toldosam, OCD and sensory processing disorder, and Vasnach, right? All cousins, right? Of each other, right? Yeah, well, related, right? And I'll tell you, it all has the same shorish. All has the same shorish, right? You need Shem Shamayim on your mind to be your strong central pillar that keeps all your emotions and all your thoughts structured and orderly, you know. Yeah. You know, the distraction is because you don't have your anchor. What's supposed to be your anchor? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just like it was our national anchor when we had the Beis HaMikdash. That's called we were one nation. It's called we weren't in Golis yet. It's in the individual also. And that's what Chazal say. Yechaven libo keneged beis kodesh HaKadoshim. And there's a Zohar like that. The heart is mamash keneged the kodesh HaKadoshim. That's your personal kodesh HaKadoshim. Your mind, your heart is your personal kodesh HaKadoshim. And I'll tell you more than that. It's about time it be said. Right? And we deal with it. Right? Otherwise, we're going to keep on talking about the kids, you know, and right? It's one of the mysteries. Yeah, right. Yeah. Nefesh HaChaim says, you know, Shar Aleph, Perek Dalet. Right? You know, Nebuchadnezzar and Titus, when they destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, Abasko came out and said, Kimcha Tchina Tachanta, you ground pre-ground flour. You did nothing. Am Yisrael already destroyed it. Right? And the Nefesh HaChaim explains, because they're not tapped in to the cosmos the way we are, the way we learned the Derech Hashem. Our neshama reverberates in the heavens, and when we do an aver, we screw up big time. Not just for ourselves, we ruin it for the whole world. They don't have that type of neshama, like we learned. They only ruin things for themselves. They can't derail the cosmos. But says the Nefesh HaChaim, and therefore, he writes this. These are his words. Take a look. Shar Aleph Perek Dalet. When a Jew has one dirty thought in his heart, he does more cosmic damage than what Titus supposedly did. They took a Zayna on a Sefer Torah in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. We do, with one dirty thought, more cosmic damage than what he did at that time, you know, in physical reality. Yeah. You know, our mind and our heart is supposed to be, that's our Kodesh HaKadosh. It's supposed to be permeated with thoughts of God constantly. Thoughts of God constantly. And it's not just extra credit. You know, the Rambam writes in the Mar Nevuchim that in his opinion, Hashgacha, which is a form of Hashras HaShechina, because God says, Al Kieno Kai Bekirbi, when God withdraws the Shechina, that's when you're toast. Right? Heavy Omer, when the Shechina is more, Shem Shema is more on us, that's when we're more protected. Right? You know, another term, symptom of Hashras HaShechina is Hashgacha, that the world is more controlled, as opposed to when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mesalek HaShechina, the world runs haywire, right? So the Rambam says like this, right? You know, Hashgacha Protis is a sliding scale. The Rambam writes this, and he meant it. Hashgacha Protis is a sliding scale. It's not a blanket thing, right? So the more you have your mind on God, Mida Keneged Mida, the more you're on his mind. And he says, amazing, if you, a person would never forget about God, ever. When I talk about what Nefesh HaChaim says, a person should walk around saying nothing's you except God. You don't even have to get that deep, says the Rambam. Never lose sight that there is a Ribbono. Always remember there's a God, right? He'd never forget you either, and you'd be protected wherever you go. Right? And he says it works the other way. If a person, you know, shelo ba'ones, for no serious reason, just, you know, he's ignoring God, you know? Just putting himself in a matzah of, you know, doing dvarim b'tehillim, forgetting about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, during that time, mida keneged mida, you're vulnerable. You could die like a dog. But should be hit by a bus, even though you didn't do a chet that's chayev misa, you are vulnerable. You're, you know, the emotion's not on your mind. Mida keneged mida, he's mesalik his hashgacha from you. You're not on my mind. I'm not on your mind either, you know, gacha. The whole tachlis, there's two things that are, there are two things that are parallel. The Sefer Yetzirah tells us there are three layers of reality that go in tandem. Olam, Shana, Nefesh. Right? There's the place in the world, there's time, and there's also in the person. Right? So there's, in Olam, it's a Beis HaMikdash. In Zman, in Shana, it's Shabbos. Right? And in Nefesh, it's Am Yisrael. These are the three things that are called Kodesh, right? The Mikdash, it's all Kodshim, right? Shabbos Kodesh, and Am Yisrael, the Amah Kodesh. The Shechina is only Shara B'Yisrael, Moshmenu David, V'Riflid on Yom Chah, Shetishra Shechina Yisrael, V'lo Tishra Umas Ha'olam, right, and connected also, Knesset Yisrael, Yeh Ben Zugach, Shabbos is only Matron Tova, only for Klal Yisrael. They're chosen people. The fact that we have Shas, we have a base of marriage, there are functions of, they're all Shem Shemayim. They're all functions of Shem Shemayim, that's Chal on Am Yisrael. Shabbos in time, right? And the Mikdash in Mokom, right? The whole point of Shabbos was to break out of the box. Right? That's why the Torah asked Melacha. Right? It's to break out, you know, get out of the rat race. Get out of all the distractions. You have one day you're not allowed to do anything. You should be thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu only all day long. Right? It's not a day to squander, acting like a behemoth. It's a day, right, to be, you get out, you know, to be focused on Shem Shemayim. That's why the high point of it is Ata Echad V'Shimcha Echad U'mikam Choy So Goy Be'Echad Ba'aretz. You tap into that Dveikus and Shem Shemayim, that cosmic unity. Right? You reach that by the end of Shabbos, if you use Shabbos the way you're supposed to. Right? Everyone's talking about, why are the kids texting on Shabbos? Whose fault is that? Whose fault is that? Right? You taught them Gemara. You hired the best tutors. Did you ever teach them about God? You ever tell your kid, don't forget about the Ribon Shalom? Kol Ma'asecha Yul Shem Shemayim. It's not on the yeshiva curriculum, because not what the other school's doing. Doing Rebaruch Bears. No, Rebaruch Bears, fine. But what's it all for? Right? We've given them a hollow Judaism. Right? The statue, without the life. The laws, and the being, you know, love your neighbor. And that's why they steal. I wonder, Jews, I'm a dying. I have these cases. Guys with beards down to their belly buttons, you know, they should all be put away. Many of them are put away. They have no problem stealing. What happened to the whole Bubba Combat? It's all about not stealing. Because if you take God out of it, so it's no difference between the Bubba Combat and the Constitution. He's not listening to the Constitution either. Our anchor, right, to mental health, to spiritual health, right? What's called Dveikus in HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What's called Dveikus? To have Shem Shemayim on you is having HaKadosh Baruch Hu point center, having him on our mind, having him in our heart. I guess, you know, you're aware somewhere in the periphery of your conscience that there's a Ribon Shel Olam. That's our Beis HaMikdash. Our mind and heart is our Kodesh HaKadoshim, and the Shechina should be there constantly by constantly remembering there's a Ribon Shel Olam. And the Torah is important because the Ribon Shel Olam gave it to us. That's why it's important. Right. You know, Jews have become very comfortable, but it's become very hollow. Because where is the Ribon Shel Olam in it all? Right? You know, have we ever instilled in our children a sense that, you know, you are the Am that stood by Har Sinai. You were chosen from all the nations of the world to teach the whole world wrong from right. Who teaches the kids that sense of mission? That we're here to be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim Ba'olam. Talk about Shem Shemayim. Mekadesh Shemcha Ba'olam. And we want a Beis HaMikdash. Who are you fooling? How do you treat your own mind and heart? You dump into the garbage of movies and novels. So how are you treating your own Kodesh HaKadoshim? So what do you want from a Kodesh Baruch Hu? The situation around you is just a reflection of what you look like. That's why the kids are going off. That's why there's so much mental illness. That's why there's no more divisions, no machlokas. There's no division between Zohar and the Keva. And you don't know. I don't know. I don't use public restrooms anymore because I don't know which one to use. Right? Humanity's gone because there's no Shem Shemayim in the world anymore. That's why.
You know what I hear from my kids? When you can tell when there's no Shem Shemayim in it. There's no joy in it. That's and right. It becomes everyone doesn't look happy, and they don't look happy. And they don't dress happy. And you can see it, literally you can see it. You can see it in the culture how it's changed. Like I go to weddings and it's all black on the women's side. And color, and people walk like the typical yeshiva person, walk like hunched over. But there's not, it doesn't feel like this. You know that it's, you could see it in the way people comport themselves, and people are rejecting that. that's what's happening to you. They're saying, I don't want that. That's not happy.
That's
so
true.
You take the mission out of it and the enthusiasm that there's a God who cares about me, and you just take that part and I have a mission out of it.
If a person would feel it, there would be tremendous joy. There would be ba'onig. No, there's no way a person is dovik and feels that and is not in a state of constant oneg.
Right, instead it comes off as agitated and worried.
Because it's a neurosis. That's what it is. When you take God out of religion, it's a neurosis. Right? You know, so if we want to get out of here and not be here again next year, right? But, you know, be with the Beis HaMikdash and be busy with the Chanukah Sabayis. You have to change yourself. The one cog that God gave us in to change the world, the fundamental cog that he gave each and every one of us is by changing ourselves. And you change yourself, you change the world with you. You want a Beis HaMikdash, you have to treat yourself like a Beis HaMikdash. And the Shmirah Shabbos in particular, that's the Inyan of Mikdash Bizman, has to be done properly. I'm speaking to myself. It all has to be done right. The Rambam, the Rabbein Avraham ben Aramim describes, you know, Shabbos, you know, that, you know, the real Shabbos, you should feel Oz Tisana Gal Hashem. You're just in this perpetual state of Dveikus. You don't feel hungry. You don't want to eat. You don't see the wall in front of you. He says that in his Hakdamah to Sefer HaMaspik. Right? Who teaches us what Shabbos is? Isser Melacha is just the starting point to detach you from the distraction.
Yeah.
Right? But if you're hollow on the inside, being, you know, doesn't help.
It's all experiential. You know, more than teaching, you have to just see it.
Well,
you
course.
Don't have role models.
Yes.
There's no one here to look at.
All right, so you have to change that. Mrs. Wien, you have to change that. Right? It has to be changed. It has to be changed.
No,
but is it...
question how often in my head a picture of them and their, but what about people who never got exposed to anyone great? Everybody in their entire orbit is mediocre. What is supposed to
energize?
Yeah, what is supposed to motivate? So I got to that. I have one muscle that I always go to that shows that people can do it on their own.
They can, yes.
That is Mario. We have a handyman named Mario. He's got tattoos, bandanas, earrings, and he's an ex-con, and he's the scary chains. Like, if you see him on the street, you'd be so scared. He's a total boogie, sweetest animal. The story is, he's in jail. I don't know for what, I'm afraid to ask. Serious business. And he was a drug addict, he was an alcoholic. And when he, in jail, by himself, alone, without 5 million chesed organizations, chaplains coming to visit, all the Aleph, you know, Aleph is, it's a whole organization that helps prisoners in jail, Jewish prisoners in jail, Chizuk, Sfarim, with nothing, with zero, with nobody, nothing, he decided there's more to me than this, and he pulled himself up by his bootstraps, and became sober, now he's a counselor, he takes care of kids who are at all, you know, he's wonderful, and he did it all by himself, with nothing. So within us, we have the capacity to reconnect.
Yes.
And to find our center, even without the good teachers and even without the best role models. In the person themselves, there seems to be capacity to really to find ourselves. And then on top of that, we have good role models. And the least effective thing is the teacher. You know, when it's not being received, when there's not an open heart to receive it.
Yes.
So we have it all backwards. You spend a gazillion amount of hours teaching.
Yes.
Teaching. There's so much teaching available, but the role of the examples and the empowering of the individual, that's not what we talk about. You never hear in Chinuch very often the empowerment of the individual. It's always suppression of the individual for the system.
Well, that's become a huge problem in the religious world today. Everybody's terrified of doing even one thing that's slightly different. But I want to ask you something. When you talk about the Knessia and the Machlokas, so you're really talking about two forces. There has to be unifying forces, bringing things together. But then there has to be another force that doesn't allow it to implode on itself.
Yes.
Which would be going in the opposite direction.
That's right. So and they all call shapes your mind.
Is there any name for those different forces or not? I mean, I'm assuming
yes.
in science that there's...
Yes, there is one name. Das.
Das is for which? For both?
Das is for both. And we find that Das both was both... Why do we make Havdol and Chonein Adas? Yushalmi says, Im ain Das Havdol Aminai, the ability to differentiate. But we also find that Das means connection, like Adam Yadas Chava Ishto. And that's, it wasn't me to speed up, but you brought it up. And that's the secret of what Chazal say. Kol mi sheish bo Das, ki'ilu nivne beis hamikdash b'yama. A real, genuine Bar Das. We don't have any real Bar Das anymore. But you know, if we had, it was on. Really knew the score. Really knew the score. For him, for him, it's like there's a Beis HaMikdash. Because that's, you know, to know what belongs together, what should they apart, how to pull things together. It's called Das. The world has gone crazy because of Siluk HaShechina. There's no cosmic Das.
We're the people in the book, and we have so much wisdom, and we have people learning around.
That's Chochma and Bina. That's not Das.
But you know what? How come from person has never produced a book like Viktor Frankl, or like The Seven Habits of Highly Effective books that change 100 million people read them because they're real. That's one question. That's the Das that could change everything.
Right.
We know everything.
They have Chochma and Bina.
And we're
that's
meant to bring our guidance to the world.
That's
and
right.
The fact that we haven't been the ones to present such a thing to the world, a coherent path to happiness and fulfillment and truth. That speaks for itself. It all comes from non-religious people and non-Jews.
That's right.
But let's say if you bring someone like Viktor Frankl, I went to like the seminar. It was very interesting because even though he wasn't religious, but his whole logarithm theory was based on his acknowledgement. He brought Hashem back into
that's
the form
what I'm
of
why
psychology through his experience. Remember we were talking before about experiential because of what he went through. He was able to understand what he was at.
But still, if anybody should come from us, there should be tons of books like this being written for the public.
You mean it should come from the firm world?
Yeah,
you're right.
That's our job.
So we're all in Chacham, Bina, and Das.
That's right. And that's a kol mi sheish bo kilu divne beis hamikdash b'yamav. We're missing Das. The Navi says also, umolar it's deyas Hashem. Kamayim achzom, right? Kulam yedu osi. You'll find that lashon throughout the Nevuos. That's what's missing. You know, there's no Das in the world parallel to the Siluk HaShechina. All right, we'll end off with one anecdote. About someone who saw the problem years ago. But okay. It's a story that's told over, but no one gets the Musar Haskel. Satmarov was once at a wedding. And the Badchen, right, the comedian that the family hired asked for Rishus from the Satmarov to do a Satmarov imitation. Anyone who knew, I didn't know him personally, they supposedly had some very distinct voice, very high, shrill voice, and whatever, that was what to imitate, you know, whatever. Right, so Satmarov good-naturedly gave Rishus, and the guy imitated the Satmarov in a drasha. Satmarov, when he was davening for the omelet, did a few Satmarov routines, and he turns, he sees the Satmarov is crying. Uh-oh, right? Boo-boo, right? So he jumps off the chair they was performing on, says, Satmarov, I didn't mean, no, it's not you, it's not you, it's me. It's not you, it's me. Right? Don't you understand, I saw how you did it. You did me to a T. You did me perfectly, right? And I said, I guess I'm not that unique. Anyone could imitate me. And then he said, but then, you know what? Maybe also I'm just an imitation of myself. That's what it was, the imitation. You go through the motions, but there's no substance there, right? To make sure, as Ramosh Shapiro says, you know, Nachdu oto am sheyatzami Mitzrayim. You know, we're the same nation. We're out of Mitzrayim. We're saying that went through Nisim Gluim, stood by Har Sinai. We're just going through the motions. We're playing the part in the play as if we're acting out, but it was a different people.
I think we evolved, right? So we didn't become the deeper people we are when we were teens either. We were probably, I don't know about you, but we were, you know,
bouncing around.
Yeah. So the difference is that when we were teens, we were not on a course of self-destruction, so we had time to evolve, to find ourselves and find all this das, that, or at least begin to find some of this das you're talking about and connect. The difference is now, there's something going on that they don't even have time to get there. Of course, not seeing that in kids is normal, but not seeing the capacity to achieve it is scary.
Yeah, well, that's an issue.
Right? Like, something so painful and so bad that they're cutting off their possibilities of ever getting it.
Yeah.
So we have to find a whole new... It's all different now. The way we reach our kids has to be completely different. It has to be a bit of gomor in terms of what they're missing. And it might be that we're coming back to basics, such basics, like... And I forget about Jewish history and the long goals and what we've learned from it. I think what matters to people right now is how I personally feel. Do I want to get up in the morning? Do I have a sense of, like, that I matter in this world? Like, that basic. And that's universal. It's not Jewish here. That's universal. And we have to maybe give a that message. But before, it's like the first step before.
Well, that's the whole ball
down. Like, really coming back full circle to Avraham. Like, why do you exist? Is there anybody here who cares about you? Like, literally coming back to that.
Well, that's
after all
the
Amdus and all, yeah, after all the millions farm written and coming back literally to that.
I think what Rabbi Bechaver is saying is that if you don't have Hashem as your
how
point
you get
center,
it into them is what I'm saying. It's not in them. How do you teach it? You're not teaching it through lectures. You're not teaching it if their role models don't convey it non-verbally. It's not getting in. So they don't have that. It's nice to talk about that has to be your center and we're old enough to, thank God, develop enough. You guys are young, but still not enough. But what we're seeing is that you can't get that message in.
I don't think anyone's actually really trying to give that message when they're younger. Or, I have a friend.
Or they're trying to, but it's the wrong way.
I have a friend that came back from a trip. She was a Madrikha on a Kiruv trip in Eretz Israel. She's 25 years old. Went through the basic ecosystem, comes from an awesome family. And she said to me, 13 years in the Jewish educational system of being a student, went to seminary, she sat down, she was working in Nevei for a little also, and she said, I have never ever heard a teacher talking about what Hashem is and loving Hashem and that Hashem cares about me until now.
Right.
Like, why was that missing from my entire education? Because what I have is a bunch of laws. This is someone who's involved in Kirsha.
Wow.
To get to being 25, having been through the system, that's sad. That's a korban.
That's korban.
That's korban.
That's korban. Correct.
No, she woke up. Every morning we take it.
The point was that she did get it from me. Meaning that was from sitting through a lecture. It wasn't from the experience or whatever. She was just sitting down and she said she just never heard anyone talk about it. That's not her exposure.
Where did you go to the
Bishop school?
I went to Berea. We got this kind of talk a lot because it was a Kiruv school at the time.
We teach our kids, the first thing that we teach them is Moda Ani, that Hashem invests us with the Neshama like him, to be like him. It's a gift from him.
It's called, like, you know how grateful you have to be that you're alive. You know,
right,
people,
but I'm saying that's a fault of the
It's also
system.
Negative. That's
yeah,
the thing. Like, you should be happy because you know that you don't have eyes. You know, one thing this is related to, which is when I was older, when I used to hear lectures about about the brachas in the morning, brachas shachar. You should wake up. You should be so grateful that you have eyes to see. Some people don't have eyes. Some people don't have food. And I kept thinking to myself, this is crazy talk. First of all, so when I'm saying, oh God, thank God I got the good, you know, I got the luck of the draw. You didn't. Well, that's not my problem, but thank God I did. Like A, and B, if Hashem created me, doesn't He have an obligation not to starve me to death and stuff like that? Like if I have a child, they have to beg and thank me because I feed them. Like the whole thing made no sense. So it came to me that, and you know, that type of talk is also negative talk. You should be thankful. You're not thankful enough. Do you realize it? So that life is a gift, whatever. How you come to understand life is a gift in whatever conditions you get it in from, but life is a gift in whatever circumstances it is. That message, that life is a gift. Somebody said to me today, life is an all. It's an all. It's an all. It's a heavy all. Not life is a gift. And that's the message that nobody wants to hear anymore. They're running so far from that message.
So Avram was chesed, and he was good. I think this comes down to such Mrs. Magen and Avram. We're going to end by Avram. Maybe it doesn't just mean midas chesed. Maybe the message to humanity that life is a gift and be happy, like the simplest thing, back to basics.
Yeah. No, but life is a mission, but it is the most fun.
Right. So that message is not the message of the classic.
You know, I mean, it's there's so you get such
every
a.
Every woman, you don't go to women's classes. You know what women hear? Not in my class. You know what they hear? Screeching, shrill teachers telling them that they're not good enough, and do they know how they're jumping away at the fort? This is constant, the muster, and the screeching, and it's your
and
fault.
They keep
and the nose is so long, we do jutsnias, and
that's what it always is.
And they screech at them with that tone of voice. And that's what women hear around the clock. Is that not true?
And I keep going.
I don't know.
I don't call this kind of true.
It's not fun. And you know, there are people screeching at them for tzniyas look like no one that anyone ever wants to look at, ever. Okay? And they're like, I'm not going to be like that. I'd rather die than be like that. Like, every message, the messenger, this is the issue I'm pressing. The messenger has no credibility because they're not happy and they don't want, they're not who
right,
I want to
well,
be and they're not. What I want to aspire to, and except a few good ones. There are a few good ones, of course. There are a few good ones, but there's that's the problem.
Well,
am I right or wrong?
For Victor Frankl,
no,
we
have very good speeches.
Oh, I don't know.
No. Now you're older, and you didn't go to Beis Avraham.
Yes, I did.
And I had
a
really good education.
You did?
Yeah.
Well,
where'd you go? There was,
yeah.
Oh, so my kids went to Manhattan too, but that's not your class.
Right.
So,
I mean, I don't remember
it's not even, don't confuse Manhattan with example.
Wait.
Oh, it is funny because probably they should all be good teachers for Miss Yakos.
Yeah,
they
would.
Do that.
They would.
Yeah.
But you're right about everything you're saying. The question is, how do we do it? It's not.
Wait,
not
we need
simple.
A red
nothing. We have to live.
You need sound bites that are 5 seconds. You need real joy in people.
That's all sign.
ADD teachers like Charlie Harari, okay, who's jumping around and happy.
Lori
and very
she's got a lot of ADD.
That means it doesn't seem to be happy.
Yes, you need teachers who are happy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
no,
adults
are
just
happy.
Yeah, of course.
Okay, look.
Victor Frankl wasn't happy.
So
he became happy. His book was written when he wasn't happy.
People have to be more. This is true. Like,
but I'm saying, like, look what he came up with.
Right.
Look how much joy he found
right.
afterwards. When we give our kids everything, and they're still not happy.
Because the approach is wrong. It's the center is all I want to do is make you happy. That's not the target in our world.
Thank you, Rebecca, very much.
I'm really glad.
Okay. However, I just wanted to put you could program reminders in your phone. That's right. Know that there's a Ribon Shalom. Every hour. Every hour.
I'm worried about this.